Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Give God a clap because he's awesome. All right, I'm ready to preach the word. If you're ready to receive the word, amen. All right, get your Bibles and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and also James chapter 1, verse 6. So I'm going to get two scriptures that will serve us this morning for the teaching of God's word. And if you didn't get a message outline, lift your hand. Our ushers will get that to you. Points to my message as well as the verses that we will be reading together and studying this morning. And I got something exciting to serve you this morning from his word. If you're ready to receive it, amen. Once you got your Bibles and your message outline, if you're physically able to, would you stand to your feet with me? And let's read the word of God together. Just lift your hand. Ushers will get that to you. And you can follow with me there. And we're continuing here the thought on the series Lions and Bears, Trusting God's Process. And I want to shed some new light and into the verses we've been studying. And we've been reading 1 Samuel 17. It's been kind of in those verses. And we're looking at David's process and what he felt qualified him to take down the giant. And today I'm going to shift gears and talk about the bear. Okay, and how I feel this is a development what God used in David's life and also our life. So are you there? Verse 34, reading for the sake of bringing us all together, perhaps if you're joining us for the first time, the Bible says in verse 34, for God said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came, he carried off a sheep from the flock. But watch what David does. He says, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth, and when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. In verse 36, watch this faith statement. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, this giant, will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. David reaches back into his been through to define his where he's going to. And I believe that God, in the season that we're in as a church, and I believe many of you in this room, you are going through some things that are not in vain, but God is taking you through some been-throughs because of where you're going to. And we've got to realize, God, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me to prepare me for my next level? Now, James chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Today, I want to talk to you about something that every person deals with. Everyone in this room, me included. And a matter of fact, the bigger your dreams are, the bigger you will deal with this. I want to talk to you about defeating your doubt. Defeating your doubt. Because when you begin to serve God, and you begin to say, God, I want to do something big, trust me, this thing called doubt is going to show up. And a matter of fact, the more you try to do things for God, the more this will chase you down. And you got to learn how to overcome this. I want to talk about defeating doubt. Bow your head and let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that this word would encourage us, that, Father, your word would begin to develop us, increase us, Lord, in the area that we need to grow, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that this morning we would focus on your word and that faith would increase in this room. God, there is a process to your promises. There is a development, Father, for our destiny. And I pray today as we gather once again in this room, Father, that you would speak to us specifically, God, prophetically, Lord, and allow me the grace to serve your marvelous people, to encourage them one more time to continue to go after the heart of God. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated and just tell the person next to you, don't doubt God. Just tell them to say, don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. You can doubt other stuff, but don't you doubt God. Come on now. Amen. Well, let me start here because I want to start with a question. So allow me to start with the question for us. We want to welcome those who are going to watch this, by the way, on our program, Heart After God, and also listen to this via podcast. They are in the room with us. Amen. But I want to talk to you on the premise of defeating doubt. Now, when we talk about doubt, I feel it's imperative that I help us answer this question because I had to realize this for myself. And here's the question. Don't answer out loud. Just answer in your head. Is it possible for faith and doubt to be in the same time? Okay, don't answer it, don't answer it, don't answer it. Careful, 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 because you might say the wrong answer, then be like, come on, somebody. Right? Is it possible to have faith and still have doubt at the same time? The answer to that question is yes, it is. That it is possible to have both working in your life at the same time. As a matter of fact, the more you live out this walk with God and the more you'll do things, the more you'll realize sometimes that the bigger some of these doubts will get when you start to follow God. Trust me. That the bigger you start to walk with God, you'll find out, oh my goodness, why is doubt always showing up? That every time you try to step out, every time you try to do something, you will find that there it shows its ugly head again. Here are you again. Why are you here? Because the reality is that when we are people of faith, there is always going to be an element of uncertainty, or else it wouldn't be faith. Talk to me, somebody. Faith is us still believing God in the midst of uncertainty. It's trusting God even when things might not add up, even when things are not in that place. And see, some of you might not know what I'm talking about, but it's probably because all your life you played it safe. Help me out. Come on, somebody. Not me. Where if you're always playing it safe, then you never really needed to activate your faith because every move you always made was with certainty. Everything you've always decided has always been, I only make moves that I know are going to work. But if you live a life where you're like, God, I'm going to take some risk. I'm going to do some things that I don't know, man. But all I do know is I'm going to step out of this boat and I'm going to do something that other people have never done before. Oh, believe me, you're going to have a level of, oh, Jesus. But if we live life of safety, then everything you've done, then everything our life never requires us. But I just wonder if there's maybe some people in the second service that don't want to live safe, that don't want to just play it and only make moves that I'm sure, but say, you know what, God, I'll go ahead and step out of a boat. I'll go ahead and launch out into the deep. I'll go ahead and run after a bear, a lion, even Goliath, God, to see if you can do something. See, this is where faith lives. And where faith lives, there's always going to be a element of doubt. See, I realize that in my life, and let me just kind of testify and you can perhaps connect, but in my life, every time I've had to make a big decision, the first thing that came, or one of the first things that came to my doorstep was, will this even work? Would it work? Is it going to happen? Like, oh my goodness, is it even going to go through? Like, for me, the day I decided to ask Pastor Marie to marry me, come on, somebody. Will she say yes? It was like, I don't know. She's saying yes, but I didn't know. I was like, come on, somebody. I've spent a lot of money in this ring. Come on, wait, hold on, somebody. She said yes. Like, yes. But I imagine in her mind, she's like, I hope this works. This guy's pretty crazy. She took a risk. Come on, somebody, you know? There's always an element of uncertainty. And what I want to talk about as I lay down this foundation is if as believers, we always try to run from uncertainty or doubt, you're going to be running from your destiny. If I only make decisions that 100% I'm positive, no matter what, I know this is going to work, then you're going to live a life that is never going to really see the massive things happen. There's always going to be an element. There's always going to be. Now, I'm talking to some honest people in the room. Come on, somebody. Where you're like, oh, yeah, I know for sure, 100%. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know. Never a shadow of doubt in my mind. Ever. I always knew. No, there was an element of like, this bet, Lord Jesus, I hope you're with me on this one. I hope you work this out. It happens in our lives. For me, you know, it happened in relationships. For me, it happened in starting my first business. There was an element of faith that was needed. But I'll tell you right now, doubt Christ show up. When I remember when my first career was going great, had a fantastic job and medical benefits and the 401k and all everything covered, but I knew there was something inside of me that wanted to be birthed out. I knew I wanted to give jobs. I wanted to break ceilings. I wanted to break the stereotype that I could break out of this. I remember feeling, you know, a word from God saying, man, I can do this. I remember stepping out, leaving that career job, and I took my pastor out to lunch that day, and I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to make this faith step. Just want to know if you can pray with me and all this stuff. He's like, all right, awesome. And I go, okay, let me pray for lunch. He goes, no, let me pay for it because you're starting this business. You're going to need help. And I was like, come on, no, come on. So I ended up paying for it anyway. Come on, I sowed that seed. But anyway, you know, I paid for myself. But I remember doing that and just kind of wondering, oh my goodness, I hope this works. I remember my wife looking at me like, man of God, you better know what you're doing. I could say all I want, but God gave me this word. And I'm trying to establish that there is an element of every single believer that you will always have this element of, I know God spoke to me, I have faith, but there's this element. Is it going to work? Well, God began to bless that business. Of course, we're able to give jobs and do things. And I was able to bless my pastor, help them buy their first facility, one of the biggest givers. And to God be the glory. Someone clap like God blesses people to be a blessing. Say amen. And God had a plan for that. And I just want to speak to somebody in this room that maybe God is calling you to do something that may not be in the normal, may not be the status quo, but maybe God is trying to call you to step out in faith, but you're letting that small element of doubt hold you back from the big things God has for you. Tell your neighbor, just say, walk by faith. Tell them to say, walk by faith. You know, if I could go a little deeper, Freedom House, I'm going to be honest, okay? There was an element of doubt. Lord, I hope this works. See, when God spoke to me, I didn't say, I love you guys, but I didn't know, we didn't have, you know, the cool videos. Come on now. We didn't have no worship team. Worship team was right here. You're looking at them. Come on, somebody. Daryl, too, let's go. You know, I was on the worship team. I'd sing, because Daryl had to play the drums, so he could, you know what I mean? He'd play the drums, and Pastor knew that, I'd be singing, too, and then they kicked me off the worship team because they want people to come to church. Come on now. They said, just preach. You're better at that. All right, no problem. I'm still hoping for my debut. But, but you know, I didn't know. There was an element of, God, I know you called me into ministry. I know you called me into this, but there was an element of, I don't know if this is going to work. There wasn't like, oh, for sure, 100%. Oh, yeah. Come on, son. You know, some people act like that, but the truth is when they go to bed, they're like, Lord, I know you put that church face on and that's cool and all, but we know the truth that when you're really in your prayer time, when you're really looking at that bank statement, you're like, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. But I think we've been so churchified that we tend to think like, oh, for sure. But if we're honest with ourselves and if we have some real believers in this room, let me say this again. If you live a life that is saved, then this message is not going to apply to you. This message, you ought to just, because you're never going to know what I'm talking about. But I know there might be a few people in this second service that say, I refuse to live my life in just a safe zone. I was born to make a difference and I'm going to step out of boats. Come on, somebody, clap like you know God has called you to big things. Who am I talking to this morning? Can I get an amen from some real people? Amen. This is a risk. This is something that I don't know, but God, I'm going to trust you. You see, the truth is, I came to realize in my life that faith cannot even exist without the presence of some doubt. It can't even exist without the presence of some uncertainty. Because if I say I have faith, then I got to be willing to overcome doubt, or else I have no faith. But how can I know if I have faith if doubt's not there for me to walk over? So if I spend my life going, oh my good, there's doubt, I'm not going to do it, then I'll never truly have faith. Okay, I hope I'm not confusing you. Tell your neighbor, say, you following? Okay, you following? All right, okay. Faith and doubt are symbiotic. What does that mean? They're connected. The opposite of doubt is not faith. The opposite of faith is fear. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Go back and listen to the podcast. God wants you to overcome your fears. But doubt actually, it tries to connect itself because you don't know if you have faith unless you are faced with doubt right in front of you to say, I want to overcome this. I want to be able to step over. It is in my thing. So what is the point, Pastor? Then how can I even live this faith walk, this Christian walk? How you live it is this. May your faith always be bigger than your doubts. May your faith always be bigger than your doubts, not your doubts always bigger than your faith. So what is the difference between a mover and a shaker, a person who does things for God and does do for God? Simple. Their doubts are bigger than their faith. It's simple. You are driven by doubt when you should be following your faith. But my prayer is that we would be people that say, God, I want to follow my faith and not be driven by my doubts. See, the thing about doubt is you really don't know when someone's being driven by doubt because they never step out. You don't know that because you're like, man, you live a pretty great life. But inside, the truth is it's an inside battle. Everyone in this room, me included, I'm raising my hand and my foot. We all battle doubt. Okay? All of us. You will face, you go, man, Lord. But it's an inner battle because nobody knows, because actually people will celebrate your life because, man, you've always done the right decision. But inside, some of you know, no, there are bigger things I should be doing. I don't know who I'm talking to. But you start realizing, wait a minute, there's something that I need to do. There's something, because see, doubt will defeat you before the battle even starts. Because we never move. Come on now. All right. You see, doubt is something that will be there. And our faith must be bigger than our doubt. Now, what? There's a lot of things that cause and feed our doubt, especially in our culture. Let me just establish this, okay? Don't worry. I love to preach. Okay? There are a lot of things that feed this doubt. If you're taking notes, flip your paper around. Here's a few things that in my life have fed my doubts, because there's a lot of things that feed your doubts, okay? Few things feed your faith, but a lot of things feed your doubts. The Word feeds your faith. Church feeds your faith. But if you realize in your life, there are a lot of things that feed your doubts. And here's something that you got to recognize will feed your doubts. Ready? people. Yeah. Write it down. Don't put their name, though, because in case they find the paper, okay? Come on, just say people, all right? In case they might be sitting next to you. I'll tell you who feeds my doubt. I'll tell you right now. Come on. Big arrow, you know what I mean? All right. People. People will feed your doubts. As soon as you have some type of God dream, some type of word from God, there will be people who will right away come and say, nah, that ain't going to work. Nah. Está loco. You're crazy. You want to do what? You want to get baptized? What? Oh, you realize if you get baptized, you really got to live for God, like really now. I don't know if you're ready for that. Right away, they'll say, do you really want to do that? I mean, you seriously want to do that? Do you really want to get married at that young age when you're 21? Don't you want to kind of play the fees, you know, kind of realize, you know, there's a lot of fish in the sea. Yeah, but there's no fish like the one. Oh, come on, somebody. People will try to come. I mean, do you really want to leave that? And again, you got to contextualize. This is not a message to leave your career, so careful what I'm praying. Okay? God spoke to me, but you know, do you really want to leave that? I mean, are you sure you want to leave that career and start that business? I mean, that is a great career. Man, you got benefits. You got six figures. I mean, look at this. Everything you could have wanted. I mean, do you really? And right away, it is people, not the devil, okay? Right? The devil guy. We ain't even got to the devil yet. And you have got to identify in your life people that will feed your doubt and people that will feed your faith. See, because if you always go to the people who feed your doubts, you're going to realize why your doubts are always bigger than your faith. But that's why it is so important to have people that feed your faith. Can I just really quick? Okay, I'm sorry. I get excited. I want to preach. In this room, okay, this is a room. And my goal is to feed your faith. The word of God is to feed your faith. Why do we have church? Why do we have connect groups? Why are we even having a conference? I'm not trying to feed your doubt. We are trying to feed your faith. And if you would ever dine at the table of God's word and God's testimonies, and if God did it for him, and if God did it for her, he could do it for me. Then maybe you will walk different, talk different, go to different places that nobody ever went, because you're a person who is filled with faith and not driven by doubt. Tell three people, say, follow faith. Come on, tell them that. Say, follow faith. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, slow down. No. They gave me a preacher towel. It's not my fault. Okay. You know, they call these preacher towels. Sorry if you don't know. Okay, second service, no problem. All right. You got to wipe the sweat. I got to use it. It's up here. All right. Secondly, people. Second thing that will feed your doubt. Myself. Okay, not Pastor Josiah. I meant you, like right myself, me. You know what I mean? You'll feed your own doubts. Right now, yeah. Just right myself. You will be, I call it the enemy of the inner me. Well, you'll be driving. Let's be honest. Come on, be real. Okay, you're at church. No time for a church mask, okay? Everybody looks great. You look wonderful. But let's be real. We sometimes feed our doubts more than we feed our own faith. You ever battle self-doubt? See, nobody knows this. But you beat yourself up. I don't know if you can do this. Nah, you should just give up. You're crazy. There you go again. You always do that. Sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me give you a secret. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. You got to preach to yourself. You got to look at, I don't know. You got to turn that driving mirror when you're driving on the 5 freeway going, here you go again. Say, no, you better get yourself in order. You better get your attitude right. You better get focused. God called you. He told you to do this, and he's for you. I ain't even about to go down that road of feeding my doubt. Some of you got to get better at feeding your own faith. Come on, somebody. And you got to begin to say, okay, I can't let myself go there. Because some of you get so deep into that, you miss your exit. Like, you just keep driving. Oh, snap. I'm going to happen. You know what I mean? Because you're like beating yourself up. But you got to realize that. I can't let it beat myself up. Third thing, write this down. I only got so much time. That feeds our doubt is life. What do I mean by that? Life happens. Tragedies happen. Circumstances happen. Jobs change. Companies downsize. It's life. Okay, before we say, the devil. No, sometimes it's just life. You get a flat tire. The devil got me a flat tire. No, it was just some dummy threw a nail out the window and you happen to run over it. Come on, somebody. It was the devil. I was, come on. It's life. Our bodies are broken. My wife, we lost three children she was pregnant with. Our bodies are broken. Yeah, that devil got you. No, it's that there's sin in these bodies. And man, that tried to feed my doubt. Is God really with you? Is God really for you? Prayers get prolonged. You're like, Lord, how come this is taking so long? Come on, maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Somebody say amen for the preacher. Come on, somebody. Lord, life. And we have to learn how to manage this stuff. Because there are so many believers that what ends up overcoming us, and it's sneaky, I'm telling you, is that we are driven by doubt. And we could say, oh, praise God, I'm 100% confident. But what do you say when you lay your head at your pillow? Ain't nobody there. God, help me to deal with this thing called doubt. Someone say amen. The verses we just read, David is facing this. And I want to propose to you that the bear was about learning to overcome doubt. Okay, I'm studying this, I'm looking at this. I told you last week that David, when he's in the field, he's in the process. The Bible says that here David is, and a lion shows up. Come on, bring out the lion. Let's bring him back one more time. Come on, somebody. There he is. I like to do this in the second service. So I want to formally apologize for getting the sheep last week. I saw the promo video, and I like hit you with it. I'm sorry. I love you, brother. I'm sorry. Okay. I just want to go on record of saying that. Okay. But sometimes I get a little excited. You know, preachers, hey, and I'm like, get the sheep. And I didn't realize that it kind of swiped him. And so, you know, I love you, brother. Go ahead. Give me one. No, I'm just joking. All right. So, tell you, they would say, church is fun. Tell you, church is fun. Church is fun. All right. Okay. So, let's get back to the message. A lion comes, okay? And I told you that David, right, he never dealt with something like this. David was entrusted with his sheep. And David does what he does. He tears down the lion. It's a process. Goes for it. You know, gets the sheep back. Kills the lion. Thank you so much. See, I didn't do it. I just wanted to touch them with it. And thank you so much. He kills the lion, all right? He had overcome fear. But then the Bible says a bear comes. Come on out, bear. Not Judah bear, but this bear. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hey. The bear comes. And guess what happens? Hold that there. He takes a sheep. Okay. Now, a good Bible study is you jump into the scene like CSI. What happened? What happened was, come on, like that person at your apartment or you're in block. What happened? Come on, somebody. And so you jump in. Let's really put ourselves in David's shoes. Can you imagine what David's thinking? David's probably right here going, again? Like, let's all be honest. Come on, somebody. Like, are you serious? Again? Like, I already killed that lion, and now I got to deal with this. You know, some of you at this point would definitely start making up stories. That sheep got what was coming for it. It's the sheep's fault. Come on. You'd be like, that dumb sheep two times. Maybe it was a different one. He should have learned from his friend. He saw his friend. He should come. Like, man, this dumb sheep, man, it had it coming. It was in its destiny. I already saved it once. I don't got no time to be saving it again. And God let it come again. But this time it came again in a different way. It came to steal the same thing in a different way. You see, we have got to realize that the enemy will always come at you in a different way to always try to steal the same thing. And if he knows he can't get you this way, he'll come at you this way. It's going to look different, but you've got to have a revelation that even though, devil, you may come at me, come on, somebody, a different way, I serve the same God with the same anointing and the same future. Anybody in this house that still got the same God, no matter what comes at you, come on, somebody. And so he comes at him a different way. And David could have been like, you know what, I ain't dealing with this. Got to deal with this again. I mean, are you kidding me? I thought I already dealt with that 10 years ago. Why do I got to deal with it? I thought we already handled this. And I got to deal with it. I thought this was like something we already settled. I got to deal with it again? Man, I thought I already killed that in me 5 years ago. Why do I got to deal with it? I helped my child with that when they were this old. Now they got to deal with this again. I don't got time to talk to you. I already talked to you. I already helped you. Okay, I ain't dealing with Jesus. Again. Here he comes back again. And here's where I believe this wasn't a thing about fear, because we already know David's crazy. Okay? We already know David got faith. We already know David knows he's anointed because he went after that lion and he goes, but now it was David. Can you believe that God can do it again? Can you believe and can you have an amount of faith that I know God did it once, but I know that he can do it again. I know that he did it that time, but I'm not going to doubt that God can do it again. And if God can do it, then he can do it again. And I'm talking to perhaps some seasoned saved, some people that have been saved, that maybe you've had some victories back then, but do you got enough faith to overcome the doubt of the different thing that you're facing, that God can do it again? And the difference now is not fear. We know that you are battle tested, but now God says, I need to know that you believe in me to do it again. That what I did for you 10 years ago, I'll do it again. I was the same yesterday with the lion, today with the bear, and tomorrow with the giant. But have you got to your today? Are there any believers in here? I don't want to live off the stories of what God did with the lion I dealt with 9 years ago when Freedom House started. I'm ready for a believer that says, God, I want to kill the present bear today because I know you'll do it again. Give God a 5-second do it again praise. Come on, somebody. Oh, Jesus. Tell 5 people God can do it again. Tell them God can do it again. God can do it again. Tell them that God can do it again. This was about doubt. This was about, because see what happens is, in so many believers, and God was developing this in David, and this is a process. Say this process. Okay, it's a process because, you see, doubt, what'll happen is, again, doubt is, it never moves. And so it was, can God do it again? And so often we know, God, you did it back then, but what happens to so many believers is they stop fighting. Because while I fought, I already fought. But God says, I know you fought, but do you believe me to do it again? Because notice that God allowed David to face something different for the same thing. Because God was building into David, and this is a prophetic word God gave me. If you want to write it down, write it. But God was building into David, what I believe God wants to build in his church, is a versatility. I can fight different things with the same anointing. Because the church, for so often, has been good fighting one thing. But now a new enemy has a... It looks different. It's the same spirit. But it looks different. And God says, but do you believe that I can do it again? And I know it doesn't look the same. And I know it looks crazy. And I know, but David had to realize, no, God, because he told King Saul, and we get the insight, the scriptures peel back the curtain to show us, and God waltzes in and say, look, I'm showing you what I did for David, because David said, the same God that saved me from the lion and the bear will save me from this giant. In other words, no matter what comes at me, my God is the same. He's the same. He's the same. And I can overcome this. This was a do it again. Do you believe God could do it again in your life? We say it in church. Woo! But when I walk out those doors, what am I driven by, doubt or fear? You see, this is what the Lord showed me. He spoke to me this, and now all through this series, about how many years? About 2 years ago, honey. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, Josiah, are you willing to risk it all again? Because, see, David had to be willing to risk it all again. He already put his life on the line for that lion. You mean I got to put my life on the line again? And what happens to so many believers is they don't want to risk it again. They risked it once, but God says, can you risk? And the Lord spoke to me and said, Josiah, will you risk it all again? Would you lay it all down again? Would you resurrender your whole life again? And this is different now, guys. This is different. Because see, when you, the enemy to your to full surrenderance is success. Because when you don't have nothing, you're like, God, I'll give it all. God's like, yeah, you don't got nothing. But now, wait a minute, you know, I got a family, I got this, I got job plans, I got careers, I got 10, you know, come on. And God's like, will you risk it all again? Well, hold on, Lord. The bear went down, because David could be like, well, I got an anointing now, I killed a lion, story's getting out. No, will you do it again? Will you put your life, and the Lord spoke to me, will you do it again? And I'm telling you, the greater levels of breakthrough require greater levels of sacrifice. And if you would ever get a revelation that, God, I'll lay my life down again and again and again. I'll pick up my cross daily and die to myself. Then I'm telling you, get ready for the greatest victories, the greatest prophetic insights, the greatest abundance, the greatest harvest of souls, the greatest, come on, legacy is for those people that are willing to say, God, I'll risk it again, again, and again. Anybody in this house not want to live safe, but want to, come on, somebody, risk it again. Shout and say amen. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Let's talk about the bear. I'm not even first point. Help me. How much time I got? All right. Opening thoughts. The bear. Here's some unbearable facts about the bear. Get it? Okay. Don't worry. Everybody wants to be a comedian. Pray for me. All right. Syrian bears, which were in the Middle East, Israel, Syria, that area, Middle East, Syrian bears, are said to be up to 550 pounds. So slightly bigger than the lion. Okay. The Syrian bear would have a skull that is 15 inches. So big old skull, big old head, you know. And the bear could stand 6 to 9 feet tall. Completely different than the lion. When that bear might have stood up, he would have been up to 6 to 9 feet tall, 550 pounds, with a big old head. Know anything David was going to face in his future that was up to 9 feet tall with a big old head? What you're dealing with is simply God giving you a picture of your future. What if I told you that the size of your pain, it's not the size of how much you're going to just go through, but it's the size of your potential and your future. To some of you that have been through some real stuff, oh, you better get ready, because God will not let any trial go to waste. He will not let anything you are facing in your present go to waste. God is simply saying, if you're willing to have faith that I can do it again and do it again, then I'm going to save you from my biggest enemies that I want you to take down in your family, in your legacy, in your generation, and for this world. Are there any people in this house that are willing? Come on, somebody. Do it again, Lord. So there goes David. He's crazy. Tell your neighbor, say, David's crazy. And he goes after this thing. Let me give you one point. That way, at least I can say I give you one point. How do I deal with this bear that was the doubt? If God can do it again, it's simple. You slay it this way. Number one, don't allow your doubt to defeat you. Don't allow your doubt to defeat you. Because many of us, we're defeated before we ever step on the field. Don't allow it to defeat you. I know you did it then, but this is different, Lord. I don't know if you're gonna do this when God says, do you doubt I can do it again? Do you believe that I will send wells of revival again for this generation? Do you believe that if I did it for Moses, if I did it for David, do you believe that if I did it back then that I can do it again for your life? Or have you doubted that God doesn't do those types of miracles in 2017 up in Southern California? That's only stuff in the Bible days. Well, I come to tell you that you serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And the last time I checked, forever means forever. It means eternal. That God, it is the immutability of God. In other words, you and I, we change. My hair changes. My body changes. My face changes. Everything changes. Gravity does what gravity does. But the good thing is I serve a God who is immutable. He never changes, and he still gets better, and he still is more awesome, because my God can do it for you, 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 and you. Somebody clap like God is going to do it in your life. Say, hey. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. I can't go there. I'll go there next week. Let me read this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:27. The Bible says this because, see, when you're a person who believes God to do it again, this verse fits all of us. I'm putting myself in there. The Bible says, but God has chosen the, what type of things? What type of things? He has chosen the, ha! Are you kidding me? For reals. He has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Wake up. It says, God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. So before we get too ahead of ourselves, the only reason God's going to use us is because he wanted to use something foolish like us. In other words, the prerequisite to be used by God is that I was a mess. So God could say, it wasn't you that did it. It was God who did it through you. It's like, man, I was just willing to be foolish before. I was just willing to be crazy enough to step out. And people say, you're crazy, but I was crazy enough to say, God, I'll do it. And today I believe God is calling us as a church to be that type of church for this generation. For you to be that type of family in this generation. People will call you foolish. People will say, what are you doing? People will say, why do you live that way? Why do you handle that way? Why do you operate that way? But I'm telling you, there is a people that want what you have. They want it, but what happens is we play it so safe that God isn't able to lift you into new dimensions, put you into new avenues, have you be in this location. God's like, I want to put you on display, but if you don't believe that I can use foolish things, if you don't believe I can use weak things, if you don't believe I can't use things that are a mess, then I won't be able to show this generation how I take things that are broken and make something out of them, how I take things that don't make sense and I bring revival out of them. Second point, write this down really quick. How do I slay the doubt? And then I'm going to pray. Is you have to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Because many of us flip it. We believe our doubts and we doubt our beliefs. As soon as we have doubts, we right away believe the doubt. Yeah, you're right. That's not going to work. Yeah, you're right. God can't change him. You're right. God can't change her. You're right. God can't do this. You're right. God will never, that'll never happen. And we right away believe our doubts. And we doubt our beliefs. But we got to flip it and we got to start believing our beliefs and doubting our doubts. So when a doubt thought comes, you got to say, no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that. I know who I am. I know what God has called me to do. I know who is with me. I know what's going to happen in my future. Come on, somebody. You see, let me read you this verse here. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. The power of this verse is in what you will lean on. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Most of us live by what we can only understand. But we've got to learn to live on things we don't understand. I lean on you, God, revelation. I lean on your understanding, God. I lean on what you are. But if our whole life we lean on what we can understand, then I would venture to say, are you serving God or are you serving your understanding? The Bible says, lean on not my own understanding. It doesn't make sense to me. But God, I'm going to trust you. I am going to live with you. Now, it is at this point of the message I need to tell you, well, Pastor Josiah, where does wisdom and faith coincide? Because what about wisdom? You know, shouldn't you apply wisdom? I say to you, yes. But how does faith? But some things will never make sense. March around a wall 7 times. Where's the wisdom in that? Okay. So what's the difference? What's more important, wisdom or faith? Ask me which is more important. Obedience. Because there are sometimes God's going to tell you to do something. And it's not going to make sense. You better do it. Because faith has to submit to obedience. There are sometimes God's going to tell you to use wisdom. And you're going to be like, but God, I want to do this. God says, no, obey what I told you. But the thing is, we try to develop our own narrative and our own belief system, what we want to do, then we slap God's name on it. But the truth is, we know we're just being disobedient. Because doubt will always lead to disbelief, which then takes you to disobedience. And the truth is, the end result is we just don't want to do what God wants to do. We want to do what we want to do. And God says, I didn't call you to do what you want to do. I called you to do what I called you to do. And if you allow doubt to go in either direction, then you will get to disbelief, and then you'll disobey me. And when you were called to take something down, you ran for it your whole life, only to realize time went by and the bear is still alive. We got to say, God, I got faith in my beliefs, but I obey you, God. Because doubt, its end result is to lead you to disbelief, which end result is to lead you to disobedience, to not do what God called you to do. But the devil can't just tell you, don't do it. He gets you to doubt, which then will lead you to disobedience. Proof, really quick, in 30 seconds, or more like 90. Okay, let me pray for you. He did it to Eve in the garden. He said, did God really say you die when you eat that? He didn't just say, eat it. He was like, open your mouth. He said, hey, did God really say? He really said you're going to die? And she started thinking, you're right. Did I remember? Wait a minute. Doubt. Then disbelief. Then came the disobedience. This is how the devil works. And he tries it on Jesus in Matthew 4 when he's being tempted in the wilderness. He's like, if you're really the Son of God, eat this fruit. In other words, he's trying to make Jesus question his belief in who he was. But Jesus ain't going to have it. I mean, think about it. The devil's trying to make Jesus question who he is. Okay? When he was just proclaimed Jesus, the Bible says when he got baptized, he came up. Some of you being baptized today. He got baptized. He came up. The heavens opened and God says, this is my son who I am well pleased. And literally one chapter later, turn the page. The Bible says, this devil says, if you're really the Son of God, doubt to disbelieve, to then try to get him to disobey in temptation. This happens to all of us. It happened to the seven sons of Sceva. Go and read in your Bibles in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says the seven sons of Sceva were trying to cast out devils, and they were going, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And it worked until they came upon one situation where they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the devil turned around. This demon-possessed person turned around and said, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know. Then they said this, who are you? So much depth in the scripture because number one, hell knows who you are. They knew Paul. Okay. But they said, who are you? Then the Bible says they beat up those seven sons of Sceva and they ran out all jacked up. But the power of that verse isn't so much that they, you know, is showing who hell knows who we are. The power of that verse is that they didn't know who they were. And that is a picture, I believe, of our generation. That when the world responds, when devils respond, when metaphorical bears respond, and they go, who do you think you are? We don't know. We lack identity. We don't know who we are. And our generation is trying to find, who am I? Where did I come from? What's my worth? What's my value? What's my destiny? And we try this and we try that and we try this, trying to find something, trying to find our identity. We're confused about all sorts of things, about up, down, left, who you are, you know, bathrooms, all this stuff. We're realizing when God says, I know who you are my child. David knew who he was. But if we're confused, we don't know. And what those guys should have done when the devil said, but who are you? He should have went like this. Oh, who am I? You better get ready. Who am I? Let me tell you who I am. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I was sanctified, set apart. He died and he rose again. So I too can rise again. Who am I? I am the redeemed of the Lord. Who am I? I am a child of God, a son. I have been anointed. Who am I? I am loved by God. I have called for a future. Who am I? I'm a person not driven by doubt, but filled with faith. Who am I? I'm the one who serves the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who am I? I am a worshiper of the Lord God Almighty. Jesus, is there anybody in this second service that can respond and no longer let doubt lead you, but walk by faith, stand to your feet. Come on, somebody, give God a shout like you know who you are in Jesus' name. I'm not gonna doubt. I'm not gonna fear. I'm not gonna let my life be in disbelief. Come on, somebody, sing it and lift your hands. Go for it.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you are blessed by God's word. For more information about Freedom House Church, visit us at thefreedomhouse.org.